T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coverage tonight for the Yankee batting practice show will begin at 6 o'clock. You'll get a pregame show at 6:30, and you'll get all the coverage as the Yankees look to win this series against the Chicago White Sox at 7 o'clock on the YES Network. And joining me right now, a guy that you see in studio, you see him broadcasting throughout the season, the former catcher, John Flaherty. John, I appreciate you coming on. How you been?
Evan, everything's great. How about yourself?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. This Yankee team, you know, it's weird. They're on pace to win over 100 games. They're having, I think we'd all agree, a great year. Yet, it feels different because of the fact that they have no margin for error. So when they lose on a Monday night to the Chicago White Sox, a team that's been hot but isn't very good, it feels worse than it is because of the Red Sox factor. Is that the sense you get for this season, that it's been a great year that's been kind of muted in a weird way because the Red Sox have had this historic season themselves?
No, you're right on. And, you know, I actually took a trip last night to Scranton to watch the AAA team play, and, you know, I was there with a lot of fans, and that's kind of the attitude or the feel that I got. A lot of fans were complaining, you know, that, you know, we got to play better. Things have to get better. And you have to remind them how well this club has done through all of the injuries. And I think you're dead on with the way the Red Sox are playing. That's how any Yankee player or team always gets compared to what the Red Sox are doing. So I get it. I just think that the Yankees are going to get healthy at some point and try to make a push at the end, so that at the middle of September they're healthy and they can make a run at this one-game wild card, if that's what it is, which is what it looks like, and then try to get deep into October.
Had Gary Sanchez look down in Scranton the other day?
You know what? He DH'd. I actually did not see the home run. I saw his first two at-bats, but the one thing I noticed, and I said it right away, he looks slimmer. He noticeably looks a little bit slimmer. So I'm sure that was part of the emphasis for him, was to maybe get some mobility back behind the plate. And we'll see. You know, obviously hitting a couple of home runs in a couple of games down there is good. But you know me, Evan, the ex-catcher, you know, I break Gary Sanchez down a lot behind the plate. And he can really, really get a lot better. And the Yankee team, obviously, would be a big boost if he comes back. Swinging the bat, first of all, but also being a force behind the plate.
And sure, they need his bat right now. I mean, and offensively, he wasn't having a great year. But from a defensive perspective, you saw him when he first came up, and he had that just incredible run in which the Yankees almost got into a pennant race in 2016. He backed it up with another good year in 17, and now this year. What have you seen from him growth-wise or moving backwards-wise defensively in the way he's playing behind the plate?
Yeah, you go back a few years ago, and like you said, he was a force. Not only the throwing arm jumps out to everybody, but I love the way he called the game. I love the way he received, the way he was moving, blocking, everything. He was well beyond his years. So to see him regress the last couple, you know, is disappointing. But I think maybe, you know, being a little bigger and the mobility maybe takes a back seat. I think that's affected him on some of his plays in the dirt, blocking baseballs. The receiving part to me is just, it's a really hard staff to catch, and I do get that. But, you know, if you're not 100% locked in behind the plate at the major league level, sometimes you're going to be exposed defensively. And I think that's maybe some of the problem with Gary, is he kind of takes it for granted back there, and you can never do that because you're going to be exposed. So, with all of that being said, what a great opportunity for him coming back now, you know, press the reset button, maybe trim down a little bit, and look forward to catching the staff coming down the stretch, because, I mean, that's like making a huge trade at the deadline if you can bring a healthy Gary Sanchez both behind the plate and standing next to it.
This is what I'm curious about, because right now this lineup is certainly lacking, and it makes sense why they're lacking. Judge, Didi, Sanchez, of course. When Gary comes back, and not maybe full-time but temporarily, would you consider it to be a decent idea to just DH him at first, to get his bat in the lineup? Because right now, Who DHs? Giancarlo? Well, now he's not playing right field. Now Shane Robinson is playing right field, and Neil Walker's playing right field. And so you could DH Sanchez, play Giancarlo in right field if he's healthy, and kind of slowly work him back. Would you do that, or would you just throw him right back in the mix as a catcher again?
Yeah, you know what? It's such a weapon, Evan. I'd love to see him back behind the plate right away. Let's go. And you know, also give this team a little bit of a boost. You know, I'm back behind the plate and, you know, and swinging the bat, and you're going to be a force and somewhat of a leader. I think Stanton still needs some time. I know he played right field, you know, recently, but I think you need to get him 100% healthy for that month of September. You know, Neil Walker's kind of been that floater who's been so good, and, you know, he can take over in right field. To answer your question, I want to see Gary Sanchez behind the plate. He's rested now. You know, I want to see him being a middle of the force guy in the lineup and a force behind the plate.
Yeah, and speaking of being rested, do you think, because Austin Romine has done a fine job filling in. I know the last few days defensively hasn't been great, but overall he's done a fine job and he's hit a little bit. And it's tough to ask a guy who's normally a backup catcher go play every day. But do you think it's worn him down a little bit? Because he's not used to playing day in and day out, which for the most part he has.
Of course. Of course it has. And, you know, Austin has done a fantastic job. And when he was swinging the bat, it was like, oh, we're not even missing a beat here. He's calling a good game. He's throwing well. He's blocking and he's swinging the bat. But, you know, Austin will be the first guy. And I felt like this when Jorge Posada was the number one guy and I was backing him up. You understand how much better your team is when you have Gary Sanchez playing every day.
Right.
And, you know, Austin has kind of done his thing. I think he's opened up eyes around not only the Yankee organization, they know what they have, but the rest of baseball that, you know what, this guy might be a possible starter in the big leagues. And, you know, the thing is, when you have a backup mentality, which is work, 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 and when I get that one or two games a week, I can kind of let it all hang out there for nine innings. When you're an everyday player, that attitude's a little bit different. You got to back up on the work a little bit. And when you play your games, you got to pick your spots with the intensity level and kind of, you know, your maximum effort for nine innings. So that takes a while to get used to at the big league level. So with all that being said, what a great job he's done, but it's only natural that maybe there's a little drop off recently and right on time for Gary to get back.
We're talking to John Flaherty about the Yankees. They won last night in dramatic fashion. One guy who's really struggling, and it happened a little bit defensively yesterday too, when he dropped the easiest play in baseball, a throw to first base, is Greg Bird. What are you seeing from Greg Bird in the, at the plate that's concerning? I mean, he had some decent at-bats yesterday, but overall he's been such a mess this year. What are you seeing right now from Greg Bird in your mind?
A lot. I mean, you mentioned last night he hit the ball hard a couple of times, but, you know, right now he's just a guy. He's just a guy who's struggling. He's just a guy who, you know, maybe is a little bit late on the fastball. And I think, Evan, when that happens to you as a hitter at the major league level, then you start thinking, uh-oh, I'm getting beat with the fastball. Now I'm in a little bit of trouble. So I see him thinking. I see him thinking about mechanics, probably guessing a lot as well. I mean, it's, you know, players go through it all the time, but when you're under the microscope with all these injuries and you need somebody to step up, Greg Bird has struggled kind of at the wrong time. And I think some of the ways he's handled some of the questions post-game have, I guess, directed more attention to him instead of just standing there and saying, you know, when I'm not getting it done right now, I have to get better. You know, the, you know, I'll get 7,000 or 8,000 more major league at bats. That's going to bother some people. So, I think Greg, you know, is going to learn from all this. They still believe in his swing, but he's going through a tough time right now.
I don't think he's good at math, because look at you. You had a long career, man. You played 14 years in the major leagues, right? You didn't even come close to 7,000 at-bats.
No.
Does he? I think he's just terrible at math to actually think, unless he's a Hall of Famer and he's going to play every day for 15 years straight, which is probably not going to happen based on his health history. He's not getting 7,000 at-bats.
No, you know what? And I went on one of our post-game shows and I kind of named some of the kids who are in the minor leagues, or some of the veteran minor leaguers who, you know, swinging the bat kind of well at that time. And you know what, Evan, I always felt like I was looking behind me all the time, like, who's going to take my job? I better be on top of my game, because I had to grind over those 13 or 14 years. And you know, I never took it for granted. So when I heard Greg mention some of those comments about looking forward to thousands and thousands of major league at-bats, they're not given to you. You have to earn them every day. And I always felt that way. So, like I said, I just think it's a young player going through a tough time who's going to learn from this. He's going to get better. And, you know, part of being a major leaguer and playing every day and being successful is the mental grind sometimes a lot more than the physical grind. So he's going through it right now.
And right now they have a guy in Luke Voit, and I don't think any of us know really what he is, but he's hit the ball well. Even the last few nights, he's had a hit each night, nothing crazy, but he was hitting all that home runs in Baltimore. And it looks like Aaron Boone's really going to give him more and more of an opportunity. So all of a sudden, and Burt played yesterday, but Voit DH, we'll see what they do today. It looks like Luke Voit may get this opportunity to prove he's a real Major League Baseball player right now.
Yeah, I was doing the Baltimore series, and he got that opportunity against Cobb, the righty, and it kind of raised everybody's eyebrows. And, you know, I went through a scouting report and said, let's see what this guy has. You know, the Yankees don't really know. I mean, I asked Marcus Thames, the hitting instructor, before the game what to look for, and he said, John, we don't really know yet. We need to see and find out and really gather some information. So you feel great for a guy who has come over and has been given an opportunity and is swinging the bat well at the right time. You talk to so many players, you know, when they look back on their careers, when they maybe don't make it, and they say, you know what, I had my opportunity, but I was struggling when I got it and I didn't take advantage of it. Well, Voit right now has gotten his opportunity and he's hot. So, you know, why not throw him out there and see what you have? And just good for him because, you know, a lot of players, you know, will say, I never got my chance. Well, he's getting his chance and he's taking advantage of it.
Talking to John Flaherty, we are a month and a few days away from that wild card game, assuming that's the Yankee destination. And Aaron Judge hasn't picked up a bat. How worried would you be about Judge right now?
I'm worried, you know, definitely worried. I kind of went through a similar injury in the minor leagues a long time ago, and obviously never even close to the type of hitter that he was. But I rushed back after about a week of swinging the bat, you know, some tee work, some toss, and then take some batting practice and let's go. And what you feel good, you feel healthy. There's no pain in there. But when you get into a game and you realize you don't have the strength that you had when you're feeling like you're on top of your game. So, you know, I'm sure Aaron is feeling some pressure to come back. I'm sure when he gets, you know, either in the minor leagues, you don't even know if he'll be able to have a rehab assignment with their season being over. You know, when he shows up in a game, he's probably going to say my hand or feels healthy or my wrist, but you don't realize how much strength you lose from not swinging a bat every day. So I don't expect it to come back really quickly for him. You hope that it does. And his presence in the lineup will make a difference even if he's not hitting bombs. But that's something that's not so easy just to step back in there and get right back on track.
Yeah, that's the worry thing about it. Just the timing of this is so bad. If this was earlier in the year, you take your time, you give him rehab. Now, like you said, his rehab, maybe at the major league level, in pennant race games, and who knows what kind of production he's going to have.
Yeah, and you worry about, you know what, I'm not feeling the strength. I got to cheat a little bit. I got to do some things that I don't normally do. And then all of a sudden you're a mess. So hopefully it'll happen sooner than later. And hopefully I'm wrong on this because, you know, the way this guy's handled himself as a New York Yankee has been pretty incredible. So it wouldn't surprise me if he comes back and gives his team a big spark and starts driving the ball again quickly.
Hey, one guy that's given him a spark is Neil Walker, and his start to being a Yankee wasn't exactly great, but they've needed him recently. He's played right field. He's played all over the place. He hits the game-winning home run last night. It feels like Neil Walker's really given this team a spark when they've needed him with all these injuries.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned right field, Evan, because, you know, when you're around the club, I think everybody realizes that Neil Walker is not an outfielder, and he did whatever Aaron Boone asked him to do to go out there and play. And listen, he's not a gold glover, and he's had some moments that haven't been great. But when you expose yourself and do something that you're totally not comfortable doing and you're having some success with it, it goes a long way in that clubhouse with your teammates, the manager, and the coaching staff. So even before you talk about the way he's been swinging the bat lately, he's been a perfect team guy. He's given Aaron a lot of flexibility, and he's locked in from the left side of the plate with that game winner last night. It's kind of been a long year for him, but at the end of it, he's really, really been a very productive and valuable player.
Oh, yeah. All you got to do is look at his numbers since the All-Star break. Those are the numbers that matter. Before that, who cares? It's the past. We are talking to John Flaherty, as, by the way, the Mets lost. They just played this suspended game. They played an inning. How weird, by the way, are suspended games? As a fan, it's so weird. Here it is. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they start in the 10th inning, and the game just ended. The Mets lost. What else is new? They stink. But that's got to be a weird feeling as a Major League Baseball player. Okay, I woke up. Now it's the 10th. Let's go play ball.
Let's go. The game's on the line in a big spot, and you know, you're not easing into a game like I mentioned before. It's like get a big hit, try to win a game, and move on to the next one. It's tough.
What are you seeing from Severino? His last few starts have been better. It hasn't been the dominant guy that was a Cy Young contender early in the year, but are you encouraged by what you've seen from Severino lately?
encouraged, but, you know, I think we're all expecting him to have that one start where he just dominates again. And then you can feel good about that one game playoff of, you know, possibly him taking the ball. But, you know, Evan, I think, you know, over 200 innings last year, I think 209 when it was all said and done, and, you know, came out of the gates firing. Everything was locked and loaded in the first half. And I just think he was gone through a little, it's not dead arm because the velocity's still there, but, you know, fatigue is a factor. You start losing maybe a little bit of life on the fastball. You start losing a little bit more of your control with it. And because of that, his slider's been flat. You know, it really has. It hasn't been the dominant pitch it was in the first half. So, the Yankees have tried to give him some extra time in between starts. They're trying everything they can do to get that life back and maybe a little bit of the energy back. But, you know, they're kind of against it now. They got to hope that it just shows up and, you know, you cut down in between on the side sessions and make a few adjustments there. But it's encouraging. He's moving in the right direction, but he's not all the way there.
What is it like in that locker room when you lose as many guys as the Yankees have lost? Because, you know, it's been absurd when you look at the key guys that have played without. Injuries are certainly a part of a game. Every team has to deal with it to some degree. But as one of the guys in that room, what is it usually like when you lose the amount of guys the Yankees have lost?
Well, you're bringing me back to my first opening day with the Yankees in 2003 when Jeter separated his shoulder in Toronto.
Oh, that's right. And, that's right.
Yeah, you know, I came from 5 years with the Devil Rays, you know, a losing organization. And, you know, you lose one of your best players, it's devastating. You know you can't really make up for that. And the one thing I remember sitting on the bench that day, nobody flinched. You know, Derek was hurt. Obviously, you felt bad. But it was just an attitude like, okay, who's going to fill in and we're going to find ways to win games. So that's with one great player like Derek, when you have all these guys going down for the Yankees, there still is that attitude like, all right, we're expected to win. We're going to find ways to win. But you realize when you look at lineups that, you know, things are pretty thin, but guys step up. Andujar, you know, Torres, I mean, they move to the middle of the lineup instead of the bottom. And they've been swinging the bat well lately. It's a different feeling for some reason. It's hard to explain why, Evan, but it's just an attitude like, you know what, next man up, let's find a way. We're expected to win, and we're going to go out there and do it.
And they kind of have. I mean, in the 22 games they've played since the Red Sox sweep, they're 16-6. That's pretty good. You know, can't complain about that.
You're right. You're right. I'm just impressed with the young kids, and I was talking in Scranton last night. I mean, these kids come up to the big leagues, and they don't flinch.
Right.
And they want the big moment. They produce like they expect to do it. They seem to say all the right things. And now you move these guys to the middle, Andujar and Torres, and they haven't missed the beat. And that's a credit to them and a credit to the minor league system, how they develop these guys.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming on, John. Always a pleasure.
Evan, I enjoyed it.
Thank you, man. John Flaherty, you can watch the Yankee batting practice show, which is hosted by Chris Sheeran, starting tonight at 6 o'clock. The pregame show right after. Game coverage begins at 7 o'clock as the Yankees wrap up their three-game series against the White Sox.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.